The peace of God really is made available to those who have already made peace with God. So you have the peace of God, which is given to those who have first of all made peace with God. Until you make peace with God, you can never experience the peace of God. Until one has come to God through Jesus Christ and experienced saving faith in Jesus Christ, until that has happened in his life, he cannot experience the peace of God. We have two major points to this outline. God is always good. We know with absolute certainty that God is always good, always. That's the first part. We haven't gotten to the second part yet. The second major division, God is always great. He's always great. So we have said that God will always forgive my sins. God is good always, and this means he will always forgive my sin, always. He will always meet my genuine needs, always, without exception. He is always up to something good in my life, always. He will always love me personally, always. And that's where we ended the Sunday before last. And then we are today on point number 5. God is always good, always. He will always give me the grace I need. Would you write that down? You remember it a lot more if you write it down. You ought to come to church with a Bible, with a pen or a pencil, with a notebook, with a notebook. The worship of God should be a significant part of your life, more significant than any other part of your life, because it is that which gives meaning to everything else in your life. You ought to come with a Bible, a notebook, a pen or a pencil, and, of course, your brainium in gear, your thinking cap, Brother Grant Rice used to say. Oh, your thinking cap. And by the way, be sure your cell phones are turned off. This is not a time for twittering and tooting and doing all that kinds of stuff. This is time to pay attention to what we need for life, if you will, please. God will always give me the grace I need. He will always give me the grace I need, always. Write that down. Write that down. If you can't count on that, you're not going to make it. Hear me? Are you listening? Remember Jesus said, without me, you can do anything you want. Without me, you can accomplish most of your life's goals. What did Jesus say? Without me, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. 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 God will always give me the grace I need, always. And apart from that, I will not make it. It's not possible to make it. My human resources are never adequate to the need. I don't have enough wisdom. I don't have enough of anything in order that I might come out as I ought in life. God will always give me the grace I need, always, because he's a good God. His goodness will prevail if I will let his goodness prevail. Are you listening? You see, God sets his table. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. But how many people do you know the table is set in front of them, but they don't eat? Now, it's rare that you go into one of the things, we watched something on Singapore last night, they had on public television. They have two recreations in Singapore. The two main recreations are shopping and eating. They're stuck on an island. They have these millions of people on this small island, and there's just not a lot to do. So it's shopping and it's eating. And when I was over there, you talk about food setups. You go to these hotels, And it's unbelievable the way they display the food. They've got sections and sections and sections and sections. And it's beautiful and it's tasty. And it just about sends you to heaven just to smell it. But I've never seen anybody walk through and not eat. Now, what I'm telling you is this. The goodness of God is available in life, but you and I need to be open to it, receptive to it, and hungry for it. If we're trying to do things on our own and rather than by the favor that God provides in our lives, it's like sitting at the table and not eating. So, God will always give me the grace. Did you write that down? Did you underline always? Underline always. God will always give me the grace I need. Okay? We're talking again, believers. Question. Would God come in the person of his Son all the way from glory Would he invade human history by means of virgin birth? Would he live for us? Would he die for us? Would he gather up our sins and take the full judgment of all of our sins to full payment on the cross? Would he rise again from the dead? Would he go back to glory to be our great high priest? Would he do all of this if he did not intend to help us in our lives? Would he do this and abandon us in our time of need? Say, would he do that? Impossible! Impossible. Impossible. He's the God who is always there. He will always give me the grace that I need. Always. Go, if you will, please, now. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. And verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8. Second Corinthians 9 and verse number 8. Now let me review before we look at this verse. 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 8. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul is talking to the Corinthians about a collection, an offering that they were taking, I believe, for the poor saints in Jerusalem. He's talking about giving. He's talking about taking from their personal resources in order to give to someone who is in the midst of famine and financial difficulty in another part of the world, Christian believers in another part of the world that are in financial need, desperate financial need. And the thing that Paul is talking about here is he's telling them to give generously, not to hold back, not to look at how much they've got and then decide on the basis of how much they've got, how much they're going to give. Because he said they need to go beyond what they would ordinarily do. They're going to need to stretch to do this. The point that we make here as we go here, we're going to take it from finances to other areas of life. Now, are you attentive? Are you awake at this point? Anybody who gives his life to ministry, whether it's in the local church, whether it's in the business community, the ministry of the gospel, whether in the local church, in the neighborhood, in the business community, regardless of where you go and what you do, if you give your life unreservedly to serve God, and some of you have never done it because you're afraid of this, when you do that, it creates needs that are beyond your own personal resources and capacities. It places you in positions where you don't have what you need. You are not what you need to be. You are not adequate spiritually, mentally, emotionally, materially, academically. There isn't, by the way, there isn't any seminary in the world can train a man for what's going to happen to him in the ministry. It doesn't exist. It's like jumping in the ocean the first time you've ever seen water. It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing. So what happens anytime someone gives their life to ministry and says, God, I'm going to dedicate my life to you, it immediately creates a need in your life for things you do not have, for strength you do not have, for wisdom you do not have, for financial resources you do not have. They are not in your world. For emotional strength that you do not have. And Paul is saying, in the middle of the fact you are giving your life to God and you are going to be creating a need in your life, a lack in your life, you're going to find out that you don't have what you need in order to do what you're committing yourself to do. That's why dedication is so scary to many people. And it is scary. When the Lord called me to be a pastor, I said, I have one condition, God. I'll do it if you give me everything I need, the grace I need to do it. And if you don't, I can't do it. Now, we need to be a people who are committed to the Lord. We don't bring to God, Lord, I've got all this great wisdom, if you can use it. I've got all of this great knowledge, if you can use it. I have all of this great emotional capacity, if you can use it. I have all of this physical strength, if you can use it. I have all of this money, if you can use it. I have all of this and all of that. I've got all of these social graces. I've got all of this, if you can use it. Nobody in his right mind does that. I challenge you, don't shrink from dedicating your whole life to God. Gather up everything in your world and give it to God today. Because God will always give you the grace you need. Always. Always. And Paul is talking about this. This is the background. This is the context in which Paul talks and gives us this truth in 2 Corinthians 9. Look, please, at verse number 8. And God is able. Let's stop there. The word able, and I wish we could all speak in Greek, then we could, the sermon would be half as long. Because the English, you know, that are you that are in languages, you know one language doesn't equate with the other language. You have to make it as close as you can get it, and you have to select words that sometimes don't carry the whole meaning in order that you might give the thought. And words are thoughts, they're concepts. And this word able, it's the word from which we get, this is the Greek word dunamis, from which we get our English word. Dunamis. Put a T on instead of an S. Dunamit. Dynamite. Dynamite. Now, what in the world is dynamite? Has anybody here ever personally handled dynamite? Most of us wouldn't get close to it if we had to. I'm happy to be as far away from it as I can get. I don't want to handle it, and I don't want to be around when it goes off. What is the idea of dunamis? What is the idea of dynamite? It is an inherent capacity to accomplish and do something. God has an infinite capacity and capability. When it says He's able, it means that He has an infinite capacity and capability to do something, to provide something. His resources are not limited. He is able. He is powerful. Now you look at a stick of dynamite. Any of you seen a road flare? You put them in, some of you have them in your trunk. It's a little red stick. It'd be this long or this long. You've seen that. Have you not seen a flare like that? And if you have an accident, you just take it out of your trunk and you light the fuse. It's got a little fuse thing and you light it up and it makes this red light that's very bright and indicates danger. And it's a wonderful safety device. It's just a little thing about an inch in diameter. It's red, about this long. They make different lengths. They burn longer, some of them, than others. And that's what we call a flare. Well, a stick of dynamite looks just the same. But the stick of dynamite has something in it the flare doesn't have. It is a little stick of power. It's a stick of capacity. If you need to split a rock in two, you drill a little hole in the rock, put this thing in it, and kaboom, the rock is in pieces. It has within it the power or the capacity to do what you need to do. It's wrapped up in this little package. God is able. God is dynamite. God has the capacity. God has infinite ability. It's more than a talent. It's an inherent ability of power to accomplish a task. God is able. Now, what is He able to do? Well, here we're on the short, what we call the short end of the stick. Here we have needs. We have needs that go beyond any visible resources. We have needs that go beyond any personal capacities that we have. We can't do it. We are not able to do it. We have no strength to do it. We have no wisdom or knowledge to do it. We lack completely. God is absolutely strong, absolutely powerful enough to do something. By the way, this word able, dunamis, is one of the three New Testament words for miracles. Jesus did miracles. One of the designations of those miracles is the word powers. The other is signs and the other is wonders. Jesus did powers. Well, what's the most powerful miracle Jesus ever did? What would you say if I asked you what is the most powerful miracle Jesus ever did? He raised himself from the dead. And I think if he can raise himself from the dead, maybe he can see us through some tight situations. Maybe, just maybe. Just maybe. Custer says this word means power, strength, with a root meaning of being able. It has means capacity. All right, what is God able to do? He is able to make some grace. Are you looking at your Bibles? God is able to make a limited amount of grace. Not quite. All grace. God is able to make all grace. Sometimes. No, abound towards you. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. God will always give me the grace I need. God has the capacity to cause all grace to abound in my life. Now again, look this way for just a moment. Some of the most basic things in the Word of God just slip right by us because they are common words that we throw around. I call it Christianese. Christianese. You say, what is Christianese? Well, we Christians talk in these vocabulary words. Many times we have no idea what they mean. And the word grace is one of those. Now, most of us know at least a basic idea of grace. It's God's unmerited favor. But let me now, if you'll give attention, please, let's look at this word grace for just a moment. God will always give me the grace that I need. Okay? Grace. Number one, it is a favorable attitude. A favorable attitude. It's speaking of God's disposition toward me as an individual. What is God's attitude toward me? Now let's back up again. Let's back up again a little bit. Knowing what he knows about me, and with the vast number of failures and difficulties and sins in my life, I would think that God's attitude would not be favorable toward me. And most Christians conclude that, and for that reason don't dedicate their lives to the Lord, and don't pray, and don't attempt to get into Christian service. The grace of God is a favorable attitude. An attitude, a disposition of favor toward His people. Now again, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood, become a participant in what He did? Is that possible? Yes, it is. And He did do that. And if He did that, how is it possible then that His attitude is not favorable toward me in spite of all He knows about me? Yes or no? God's attitude is favorable toward me. It's proof of the work of Christ on the cross through His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. Grace is a favorable attitude of God toward me. It is of what is felt toward another, which means goodwill. Put in the word goodwill. That's another synonym for grace. Goodwill. Favor, goodwill. It's a religious technical term for God's attitude toward human beings. Here's another synonym, kindness. Kindness. Grace, favor, helpfulness. These are all synonyms of grace. The basic root meaning of grace is favor. It means also exceptional effects produced by God's favor. This is what God does in our lives to meet our needs, such as giving us ability, such as giving us power, spiritual power, such as enabling us to perform on a level that, humanly speaking, is not possible. He gives gifts by His grace to make possible ministry. But those gifts are given in the light of what God would like to do with your life, like to do in and through you, for which you have no capacity. And we sit here today and we say, I could never do that, I could never do that, I could never do that. I say, amen to that, you never could. Except, if God wants you to do it, He will give you the favor, the ability, the power, the enabling that you need to do it. Grace is used to indicate practical proofs of goodwill from one person to another. Like a kind deed which God does for us all the time. Benefits which God showers on our lives every day. Favors. God is able to make all sweetness, charm, loveliness, pleasure, delight, joy, goodwill, loving kindness, and favor abound towards you. Let me back up again. It is unthinkable that God the Son would leave heaven, come to earth, go through what He went through for us personally. Die, be buried, rise again, go to glory. It's unthinkable that He would do that if He did not intend to fill our lives with His favor. Do you get that? Now we ought to turn somewhat Pentecostal at this time in the service. What kind of a God is God? What kind of a God is He? But not only does He pour His grace into our lives. Look at the word abound. It means, Gingrich says in his lexicon of faith, to be more than enough and have things left over. Be present in abundance. Be extremely rich or abundance and to overflow. So God not only has this attitude toward us, but this attitude is consistent with His own greatness and infinity. I will never forget the preacher I met one time in Southern California. He was, I think, maybe more robust than I am. And he blamed it on his wife. And this is how he explained it. He said, I grew up in the Midwest. You all know where the Midwest is, I think. I grew up in the farm country in the Midwest. And he said, the culture there was this way. The cook would always try to figure out exactly how much would be needed for the meal. And so when the meal was done, there would be no leftovers. And if it wasn't all gone, the cook would think it wasn't good. She would think that she had failed to cook good food and delicious and tasty food, and the people didn't like it, so there's something left over. So he said, I grew up in the Midwest where we were taught you clean your plate, otherwise the cook is insulted that the food wasn't any good. But he said, I married a wife from the South, Southeast. And he said, there, what they do is they cook three times as much food as anybody can eat, and if it's ever all gone, then the cook is insulted because she thinks she didn't make enough. So he said, I'm from the Midwest trying to clean it all up, and she's trying to cook until there's nothing left over. Until there's more left over, see? Now, this idea of abound is like that cook from the South. There's always left over. It's more than enough. And God would be insulted if there wasn't enough grace for you. If you ran out, if you came short, if you used it all up. It doesn't work that way. You can't use it all up. God is able to make all grace abound, overflow toward you. Of persons, it means to have an abundance, to abound, to be rich. And that word is used in some of the texts I've got here in my notes. To be outstanding, to be prominent, to excel, to cause to abound, to make extremely rich. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency. What does that word sufficiency mean? It's the state of having what is adequate, competent, being content with one's circumstances, contentment, self-sufficiency. Everything I need for, and I'm just about done. Don't close your Bibles. Put your mind in gear. Give it an extra shot of caffeine, okay? Do something here. Everything I need beyond what I need for what God wants done in my life. everything I need. And beyond everything I need for everything God wants done in my life. And I will paraphrase this for you, please. God has the power and ability to pour all favor into you in overflowing abundance. With this in mind, that in every way, at all times, having everything you need, you will be having in your own personal possession more than enough for every good deed. That's what Paul is saying here. You are committing yourself to do something beyond your talent, your ability, your resources. You're committing yourself to the will of God in something beyond you. And in the light of living like that, and I've been, if you will, please, I've been living like this for over 50 years now. And it's true. It's true. It's wonderfully true. Let me repeat the paraphrase one more time. God has the power and ability to pour all favor into you in overflowing abundance. With this in mind, that in every way and at all times, having everything you need, you will be having in your own personal possession more than enough for every good deed. Literally into every good deed. Because that's the goal of our life, to do ministry that we can't do. How did you get that? The goal of life should be to do ministry that we can't do. And then let me ask you something. When you do ministry you can't do, who gets the glory? God does. God does. His glory, His praise. Let's bow our heads, please. Pastor Pelletier, find a good song. One with a good ring in it. Heads bowed and eyes closed. This is a private and personal time, and just want to talk to you now as we leave the service today. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please, because this is private and personal. Have you dedicated your life completely to the Lord, or have you been frightened away from doing it? You can do it. It's not because you can do what needs to be done. It's because God never fails to pour abounding grace, favor, help, ability, whatever it is, into the life of the person that seeks to do the will of God. Because nobody is able on his own to do it. That's just simply the way it is. And I want to challenge you right now to make this moment a moment of personal dedication. God, look, whatever you want to do with my life, I give it to you today. With this understanding, what you want done with my life, I can't do. And you've got to do it in and through me. And you've got to pour your grace into my life. And if you'll do that, you've got my life. You've got my life in every part of it, every dimension of it. You've got my life, my person, my relationships, my possessions. You've got everything. It's all yours, and I'm giving it to you today. Because I want it put into the service of God. I want it all done for the glory of God. I give it to you today. Teenagers, young people, have you given your life to God? You can't do what God wants you to do. That's a given. But God can do it in and through you. Right where you're sitting now. Come on, make arrangements with God. This is between you and God. This is intensely personal. It's a personal thing. And if you've done it before, thank God for what He's done on your journey and just ask Him to double your capacity by His grace to serve Him more and more in the days to come. Ask God for a new outpouring of His grace, His favor into your life to enable you to do what you can't do for God and for His glory. Oh, there's so much. If we just will open ourselves up. We sit at the table. Now let's eat. Let's eat. Let's open our hearts. Let's open our minds. Let's open our lives so that God can pour His grace, His favor into us so that we might love Him and know Him and serve Him and our lives might be to His praise and glory.